Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Above the Bar podcast, a show about a middle-aged father, current events, and how these things affect my everyday life. Alrighty, folks, welcome to another episode of the Above the Bar podcast. This is kind of a special one here. We're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, that's music. And I have one of my biggest music artists I know. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than this, you know. He's probably put out more shows locally here than anybody I know right now. You know, you can find him constantly online performing. He'll have his virtual tip jar out there for you, ready to go. And he has the best haircut in music right now. No one can beat it. What are we working with today? Is that fuchsia?
Fuchsia. I can't remember the name of it. It's Manic Panic. I put it in last night, you know, to get ready. Yeah. But yeah, well, I'm going to run with fuchsia. I like that.
Are we going with Richard Cranium for our new show name?
We can go with Richard Cranium, yeah.
We'll go with Richard Cranium for our new show name here. But this is, we've known each other, God, now 10 years, 2009?
Yeah.
2010? Yeah, about that.
Yeah, when was that? Wow, that was, yeah. Probably, yeah. Well, when I moved back to New York from Killington, yeah, I think that was 2011. And then so shortly after that, we started doing the podcast.
So, yeah, so at least since 2011, we met each other. And that's back when you had your other show name, and I thought you were an Asian man.
That's.
I was like, oh.
Well, yeah, we met Comic Depot, right? Was it a Comic Depot?
We met at the Depot. That was the first time. And when you introduced yourself, I was like, oh, he's not. Okay. All right. I mean, can't really tell through audio what somebody real, you know, their nationality, but okay. So he's not an Asian man. I thought, like, because you were so into comic books, I was like, oh, at any minute now, he's going to start talking kaiju stuff to me, you know, and it's going to be a little Asian man.
This guy's got to have some badass imports.
Like, yeah. I figured you read every book from back to front just so you felt better about it. And nope. But today we're going to talk about music artists that maybe didn't leave us too soon, but I think most of them, in my opinion, did. But we're going to talk about who they were, you know, a little bit about their lives. And the big question in this is, would they still be relevant today? Their music is still relevant today. But if they continue to produce music today, would they still be relevant? Would it be somebody that we would sit here and go, hey, did you hear that blank put out a new album? Or with some of the current world situations with the BLM movement, LGBTQ movement, would they be relevant to some of those movements? And would they still be out there promoting themselves? Because I know for one of mine, I think one would. But I think the other one, his bandmates have kind of faded. One of them is huge. I can't wait to bring up the one to you and think how you would feel if this person didn't die. Would we have lost other great music from his bandmates?
Yeah.
But the one bandmate who supposedly is an activist is gone. You never hear his name. At least I don't. So. You want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go ahead.
All right. No particular order. I'll go with my first artist. My first artist, and I'll give you a little bit of background. Let's see if we can each guess. I know you gave me your list earlier, but I didn't look back at it. So my first one is this person is part of the 27 Club. And for those of you who don't know the 27 Club, this is this mythical belief that if you are a great musician and you're at the top of the game, you will die at age 27 from something tragic and horrific will happen to you, and you'll be known for that. There's so many of them out there that are part of this club. But so this person died of a heroin overdose, produced, was in 16 different movies, provide their performances, had 3 number one hits. One of them was with another band. If I told you I'll give you one of the songs.
Okay.
that was a number one. I feel like this one that was a number one might put a little obscurity to the person, though. The song was Pearl.
I have no idea.
I'll give you the other song and you'll be like, oh, okay, I got this.
Okay.
Me and Bobby McGee.
Oh, yeah. Janis Joplin.
Joplin. But now I'll tell you, I feel like there was, to me, female voices of that era, every woman since then wants that voice. They want that grumbly. They want that gravelly. They want that, like, you've had pain. You've dealt with stuff. They want that. Like, I'm getting chills talking about her. And they want that in their music. And I didn't even know she died of a heroin overdose. I knew it was something tragic. But I guess for some reason, she was in my head that she was one of the car accident ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always the Mama Cass story about the sandwich and all that. You know, it's not true, right?
Right. Yeah.
I always love that one.
The ham sandwich to go down.
Right. But she was one of the ones we were talking before the show. Her ashes were spread across the Pacific Ocean, which I thought was very interesting. But my only feeling is I don't know if she would be relevant today. Her sound is relevant.
Yeah.
But I feel like, do you remember probably, what was it? Probably about 10 years ago or so, when they had that TV show with NXS, trying to find a new lead singer for NXS.
Yep.
Like, I feel like we would have gotten Janis Joplin in the early days of the music TV, trying to find a performer thing. Maybe today you get her in a guest appearance on one of those shows as a guest judge. But I do think, though, that unfortunately, I don't know if she would have carried on to be that big of an artist. What's your thoughts?
That's interesting. Cause you look at what she did for music, what she was doing with music, you know, all that influence. And it really, like, that voice was just like, it was like a punch to the gut, you know, just all so much emotion. And she had, and the range she had, and just, it almost seems like, for me anyway, go like Janis Joplin, and then cut right up to Joan Jett, and then female singers today. It just, you see like that evolution, they carry that with them. And it's really hard, like, especially going through like that landscape from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and then now, like, where exactly she would have ended up. It seems to me she would have been, like, you wouldn't have found her, like, you know, playing in Vegas, you know, where she left. Like, maybe she would be like a mentor role, like a producer or something like that, you know?
Like, I worry that she's sitting at, like, she would have been still, like, if she would have OD'd, she'd have fallen into obscurity, and like, they'd have found her sitting at the end of a bar in some, you know, somewhere in Southern California, like somebody going, hey, you know who that is, right? Oh, really? No. Yeah. The woman over there. That's her. Like, that would be, that's my only fear with somebody like her.
Right. Which, yeah, would be very well a possibility, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then you get shoved to the side. Unfortunately, the beast that is the music industry.
Yeah. All right. So there's my first one. Like I said, no particular order for mine. And I think I got this was tough, man. I had some, like, honorable mentions. And last minute, I bumped somebody. Do you want me to? I'll tell you who I bumped at the end. I'll tell you who I bumped at the end.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely came up, like, as I was, like, I made the list, like, first, like, it was more like, all right, what's the first thing that comes to your head? That's what I did. Because after I sat on it, I'm like, what about? Yeah. I kind of went back and forth with. But he didn't make the list, but he leads directly into who I'll bring up first, Chris Cornell, just because he had but there was just like all that pain, just you could just see
him
coming back at him. And so I chose who was his roommate at the time, Andy Wood. Mother Love Bone. Just with that early And Mother Love Bone wasn't even really, they weren't, I wouldn't even consider them what, you know, someone would call grunge. They were more just, it was like rock. But Andy was such this front man with just this charisma. You can, it bleeds off, like, you can only watch him on television now, but I mean, that was just like, even through watching him do that, you're like, this is what a front man is. Just, it was just, and the music he wrote was just so, it was the, like, the link, other than the, like, Jane's Addiction, between hair metal and the Seattle Explosion. Like, that was the only difference. Like, it was just like, they had, it was so deep, you know, it had like this, every song had emotion to it. And it was just, but yeah, unfortunately he died of a heroin overdose as well.
Okay. There's a few of them from that era that, like, cause there was what's his name? The B song. God.
Oh. Shannon Hoon.
Yeah, he was heroin. He was a psychopath, though.
Yep.
Like, I can still remember back when MTV had music, and they would do the news breaks, and they were like, "Yeah, he was arrested somewhere performing because he peed off the stage onto the fans." Like, that dude was psycho. But yeah, Andy Wood. I mean, that's a perfect one. Mother Love Bone.
Yep.
Ah. Now, do you think he would still be relevant today, though?
That is, like, I don't know. I know he would have, like, it's just, it's crazy. Like, if he had stayed in the scene, like, obviously the entire landscape would have changed, because we wouldn't have Pearl Jam, which is my all-time favorite band. So that was, like, this is like a double-edged sword. Like, you want to see what Andy would have done, but at the same time, what he left in his wake was like just grabbed at that time, just grabbed everybody right by the balls. And it was just like, oh, it was insane. Like, music needed that, but I'm not sure. Like, Apple was a great album, such a good album, but who knows what happened after that? Like, I mean, I hope he would still be making music.
Do you think he'd be more like a songwriter kind of guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he would have, like, because those guys were so tight-knit, they definitely would have collabed on a lot, even going forward. Like I said, like, he and Chris were roommates. They used to have writings, like, they would, like, writing battles. They would have their keyboards and piano, like, set up, and, like, they would write music. Be like, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Since,
like, that much. Like, how insane do you think that was back then, that Seattle scene? Just for a sidebar, if you really think about that Seattle scene, is it the Bleach documentary or whichever one it is about Cobain's life, where they're like, yeah, we opened the windows and we opened the doors and we played whatever, and we didn't care if you came up to our apartment and just sat in the apartment and listened. Yep. Like the insanity of that, to hear that Andy Wood and Chris Cornell were roommates.
Yeah.
Or think about Pearl Jam with when they made Temple of the Dog.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that scene, and I was on the East Coast at the time. That stuff started in the early 90s. I was a senior, or I was a freshman in high school, and I'm like, this is kind of good. I didn't know what I was listening to. I didn't know what I was experiencing at that moment. I went from a kid wearing white tube socks and, like, whatever, you know, owning Argyles, to shaving my head up to my scalp line, growing my hair out. I owned baggy jeans and more flannels. Like, that whole scene, those guys like Andy Wood changed our lives.
Yeah. Like, it was influence over everything, man. Music, style. The way it's just, yeah.
The way I remember we looked at people.
What's that?
Like, the way we looked at people.
Yeah.
You know, our generation, we were like, hey, you're not happy with your parents either. Oh, you don't care what, like, I think we were the first generation at that time to go, I don't care what you think about other people. I like people. People are cool. I'm into people.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't hold those grudges the same way, I feel like. Like, we were very like, hey, if you're a cool person, I'm a cool person, we could just be cool together. You know, let's just not be dicks to each other.
Yeah.
And those guys like that, that's a perfect example. I like it. I like it, brother. Now, here, this was the one, my next one, that I had to like a bump somebody for this guy. But I feel like it was the right choice. Born. Now, this is interesting, and I learned something researching this guy. Born April 2nd, 1939. Died April 1st, 1984. Not part of 27 Club. But again, ashes spread in the Pacific Ocean. But he's an East Coast guy. Born in D.C. Okay. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member. Three of his albums are in the top 500 of all time. One of his albums is the number six album of all time. In 2008, he was the 13th top earning dead celebrity at $3.5 million. Has made 17 albums on his own. Also sued Pharrell. His family sued Pharrell and whatever that other guy, can't think of his name, that had that song a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and won like seven some million. And here's the part: when I tell you this, you'll go, "I know who you're talking about." I'm getting chills again. I'm channeling them all right now. We were always told he was killed by his father because his father didn't like the type of music he was making.
Marvin Gaye.
You got it, and that's not the case. Marvin Gaye was killed by his father because he got into the middle of an argument his parents were having. And they were fighting back and forth, and he got in the middle of it, and his father pulled out a pistol and shot him twice. When I was researching this, what I found was interesting was his father shot him twice, and his father was convicted, initially charged with first-degree murder, lowered to manslaughter, given 6 years. And they held the sentence off and never sent him to jail because he had a brain tumor, but still lived and died in 1994.
Sure.
I'm like, wait a sec. So his dad lived for another 10 years. And I can't imagine what the pain of living with knowing that you murdered your own son is. But, yeah, and I'm going to tell you, I feel like that dude would be super, super relevant to that.
Yeah.
I feel like he's the guy, like Lionel Richie's not on TV. Marvin Gaye's in that spot.
Yep.
Marvin Gaye's on TV talking about, you know, here's some of my songs. Because I was singing about my people fighting for their rights way back in the 60s. Let me show you how it's done. I feel like Marvin Gaye would be one of those guys that would be out there forefront, you know, like a John Lewis, like one of those kind of guys out there. Forefront and all that, and like, let's do this right. Let me show you how to do this. Let's write some songs and get people listening. And no auto tune. There was no auto tune for that, man.
No, that was all talent, man. Day after night, night after night.
And if your lady one is in the mood for a handful of people that will actually listen to this, if your lady is not in the mood, trust me, put on some Marvin Gaye. And you will fix all them problems.
Yep. Light some candles, little vinyl.
If you can't put Marvin Gaye on, get ready for things, I'm never going to be ready. It's just not going to happen. It's just one part of the equation. Like she wanted, she just needed a meal that night.
If Marvin Gaye doesn't get her going, the underlying hates you.
It was never part of the equation at all.
Nope.
All right. Who you got for me? Who's next up here?
All right. We're going to go the other, like I talked about before, like the dates of their deaths. I had chosen three people who, unbeknownst to me, had died in March. Two of them died on March 19th. Separate years apart, but same date, which is wild. I'm going to go the next. Andy died on March 19th, and this guy died on March 19th, too. And I'm going to give you two words, one clue, and I'm pretty sure you're going to get it. Crazy Train.
Oh, Randy Rhoads. All I can think of is what's his name? Ozzy holding him up, the T-shirt of Tribute. Ozzy holding up Yeah, because a buddy of mine in high school always wore it. Oh, such a talent.
Yeah. Just raw. Just in like how when you, it's like watching him play rock, listening to him play rock was like how like Stevie Ray plays blues or Jimmy plays blues. It was just like, and that was another one too. I was like, oh, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
That's too funny you said that. I had Stevie Ray on my list of like honorable mention.
Yep. It just,
oh, yeah. So great.
Feeling, it's just like to invoke, like it's just like the when someone's one with their instrument, it's just, oh, it's just, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Now, see, I think he would probably still be touring with Ozzy and doing stuff with Ozzy. Absolutely.
He had plans because he and Ozzy didn't get along towards the end.
Really?
Yeah, they were. Ozzy was a bit much for Randy. He wanted to do a
degree and everything that Ozzy was heavy into.
What's that, buddy?
Was it all the drinking and drugs and everything? How Ozzy was heavy, heavy in them days.
Yep. That's exactly why. Because, yeah, Ozzy just, you know, with his mouth and, yeah, the substance abuse and all that. But, yeah, he wanted to go to UCLA and pursue a degree in classical guitar.
I had no idea.
Which would have been wild. Which basically means you're going to be a guitar teacher. You know, right. Here, I got my lesson from Randy Rhoads. What?
What? You reminded me of another, I just had to write down another person on that list. You know, Heaven's got a hell of a jam band. Know that. Heaven's got a hell of a jam band. Yep. You made me just think of somebody else. I had to put them on my list of honorable mentions that we'll go over here at the end. You had me think, see. Now, the next one. I know I could say one word or two words. Let's see. Yeah. One word and you would nail it off right off the bat. You would be like, oh, but the question I want you to, as I describe them and you realize who I'm talking about, I want you to think about, would it have been worth it for this person to survive?
Ooh.
Think about that.
Okay.
Think about, like, would it have been for this person to not have done what they did and still be here today? What would we have lost music-wise?
I think I know where you're going with it.
You might. That's
what you were saying before, and I know who you're going to say.
So, again, member of the 27 Club.
Yep.
Born February 20th, 1967, died April 5th, 1994.
Kurt Cobain.
That's it. Well, didn't even have to go past there.
Yeah, I almost had him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I was looking at this. Did you know he was a playable character in Guitar Hero back in like 2009?
Was he really?
And Novoselic and Grohl were like pissed about it, like, how dare you do this, like, to make him a playable character. And I guess because he was such an anti-establishment, and this is an establishment type thing, but to those kids who have no idea, just know them, look, I got a Nirvana t-shirt, it's got a crazy looking smiley face on it, that means nothing to them. Yeah. But I was going through and I didn't realize he did a collab with the
Wait, with who?
You're bringing music.
I'm sorry, buddy.
He did a collab with the Screaming Trees.
Yeah.
Where they did an album of all Lead Belly music. The blues singer. I didn't know. Like, if you look up his Wikipedia, he did a lot of collab stuff where he just played guitar on a few things. But I didn't realize that. And then they were ranked in 2004 as one of the greatest artist of the 90s, as the greatest artist of the 90s, Nirvana. 27 on the top 100 for Rolling Stones. And then Cobain was the 45th greatest voice in rock and roll in 2008. So that brings up the question, though. Cobain doesn't kill himself. We lose the Foo Fighters. Is it worth it?
I would gladly take that swap. I like the Foo Fighter, and I think Grohl, of course, is just Grohl, you know. But I would love to have seen where Kurt would have taken Nirvana had he lived. That, I think, even just for one more album, I think that would have been worth it to lose the Foo Fighters.
Really?
Yeah.
So all them Foo Fighter albums, to this day, still making music.
Yep.
Truly, you know, they are one of the last true rock bands that could probably fill an a stadium, no problem. Yep. You turn around tomorrow and say, hey, they're coming to tour. Everyone's going to see the Foo Fighters. No problem. You know, so I find that one interesting, bro. I don't know if I could do it. I'm like,
I think, yeah, it's kind of interesting just because Kurt was, like you said, he was so anti just being big, which, of course, you know, happened to a lot of guys out of there because they were just, you know, they just wanted to play music. They didn't want to be a brand. You know, they didn't want to be the face of rock and roll. And, you know, they didn't want to be on the cover of Time magazine. And that really, you know, I can't imagine what that would be like. I mean, I don't think I haven't even been on the cover of like a local newspaper. I've been inside of them, but not on the cover. But it seems to me like Kurt would be happy making music, but then it's like you catch him playing like in a cafe, you know?
Yeah. No, see, I think he would still be relevant, though.
I absolutely do, too. I think he would be. He would, and that brings, like, I'll save the other one for an honorable mention, but one just popped in my head just now, too.
See? It's crazy when you start talking about it, because you're like, oh, wait a sec. How about this guy? So, yeah, and I didn't know, again, looking into some of their background. And it's always worth it, in my opinion, if you like an artist and you think you know them, to take a minute and look them up, and you start realizing things about them that you never knew. But he was a big supporter of the LGBTQ movement. Yep. He was doing concerts in 92 in support of the movement. And he actually, I never knew this, but in interviews, they asked him, like, well, are you gay? And he's like, if it wasn't for Courtney, I would probably be gay or bisexual. I wore women's dresses. I was very effeminate as a child. And I would probably count myself among that. And I didn't know that about him. You know, and I don't know if it was just a time frame where we didn't get our news instantaneously. Today, if he was as big as he was, if we had the technology today, back then, the minute he would have said something like that, it'd have been clickbait of Kurt Cobain, you know, and we'd all been all over it.
Yep.
You know, it's just wild to me to think, like, that guy, where would we be with music? But if he lived, we lose Foo.
I don't know. I'd take
the Fighters of Foo.
I would take the trade.
I don't know. That was one that I was sitting there. I was like, yeah, Kurt, love Kurt. Man, Courtney did him wrong, because I'm not going to say what happened. I'm not going to throw that theory out there, because ain't nobody coming after me.
Yeah.
I ain't the winner.
Were the Clintons? I don't know what you're talking about.
I ain't getting involved. Did you know she's in the movie Sid and Nancy? She's Nancy? Yep.
She was she tried out for the part of Nancy, but she didn't get it. So they gave her a little cameo.
Yeah. She was like Nancy's best friend or something like that.
Yeah. She popped up. I think it was the end of the second act or the beginning of the third. Yeah. She's in later. Yeah. I can't remember if she was in a scene earlier or not, but I do specifically remember her being like toward, maybe not really towards the end, but somewhere around there.
Such a great rock and roll movie, too, that not enough people have watched.
Gary Oldman is arguably, in my opinion, the greatest actor of all time. He's just like, it's Gary Oldman. You know, he's so, oh my God, he's just, the guy can play anybody.
Yeah, I mean, and it's such a unique movie when you realize, like, you know, Sid Vicious trying to do pop music.
Yeah.
It's like, are we doing this? This dude is, he's got no business.
No.
Yeah, he didn't even know how to play an instrument when it's, there's another one for the list. Do the Sex Pistols disappear if Sid Vicious is still alive and they weren't fighting with each other? Would they have gotten back together and just made just the nastiest, most ignorant, talk bad about you music that ever was produced?
I think Sid was too, Sex Pistols were my first introduction to punk back in, 8th or 9th grade. And I remember watching it because of Sid and Nancy, like that movie was going around. VHS, of course.
Right.
And I think Sid was just too much. He's like, he was just to not give a fuck about anything. And like, I don't think he would have maintained, like Johnny was all like, it still is about the money.
You think Johnny's about the money? I thought he was about the politics of it.
He's definitely his face graced like a MasterCard. Like they had specific Sex Pistols MasterCard.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Years ago. Yeah. But I mean, it's punk. There aren't like the way I look at it is punk has no rules. So that's what he wants to do. Whatever.
Yeah. There's I know we're getting off on punk here for a minute. If you ever get a chance, and I'll double check the name of it, but there is a punk metal band from Detroit that was all black called Death. Have you ever seen that documentary?
No.
My God. Amazing documentary. One of these bands that the guy tried to do the whole, you know, we'll do a Marvin Gaye kind of sound, you know, that Motown sound. And he did it for a while. And he was him and his brothers. It was all brothers that did it. And they turned around and they were like, we're going to give this a shot. But it never worked out. But they produced like one or two albums, and it's incredible. It's some of the best punk music I've ever heard.
Nice.
The documentary's actually, the band was called Death, and it's the documentary. Let me see if I can find the documentary, but because I know you are a music man, the documentary is called. A band called Death.
A band called Death. Or is my
band? Band called Death. You got to check that. Put it this way. It gets a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 7.5 on IMDb. So, but it was definitely, it was one of those ones that I was like, what is that? This is a band? And you start, you know. I don't believe most music artists, I'm going to be very honest with you, when they're like, oh, that group that only produced an album that sold 1,000 copies that no one's ever heard of. I used to listen to it on vinyl till I ran a hole in it with the needle and actually sewed it back together with stitching from that I had that actually came out of Les Paul's guitar itself and put it back together and listened to it till I couldn't listen to it anymore. It's amazing. Big influence on me. Don't nobody know who the hell these people are. Like so many music people do that, but you know, yep. I digress. Who's number three for you, brother? Bring it home.
Number three. All right. Let me think. Let me think of some clues. I could make it real easy, but I think I'm going to make it really tough. And I'm not sure how to do that.
He was very studious just now.
Okay. He died. It was a week after. The date of Randy and Andy. Look at that. That's it. That's even wild too.
Please tell me his name was Sandy Koufax, the baseball player. No, he made an album.
Sandy.
A couple of people had it. He had big influence on Metallica. Sandy Koufax album. Sandy Koufax never made an album. He never made a music album. Making this shit up.
he died on March 26th, 1995. He was in a group. Um, hip hop pioneer. And I, actually, you know what? If we go back to it, this could be another case of if he had lived, would we have sacrificed what we got after his death? His legal name, his first name is Eric.
Okay. East Coast or West Coast? East Coast or West Coast? Right. West Coast. West Coast. Eric. Yep.
California.
LA. All right. I know who we're going. There's only, I know who you're talking about. I got this. Do you want to keep giving clues? I got this. No. you know, probably one of the greatest rap, what would it be? Battles, East Coast, in known history, making albums, just slinging shit at each other. Oh, Eazy-E himself.
Eazy-E. Yeah, baby. I remember listening to Straight Outta Compton when I was in like 10th grade. I'm a white kid growing up in Gansford on a farm, and we're blasting, and I, every word, all the lyrics.
Oh, know them all. Straight Outta Compton. Name, right? Oh, wow. I can still quote shit out for that album.
Yeah.
You know.
What an album, man. What an album.
Rolling down the street in my 6'4". Come on. Like, those are, you can't tell me if you don't, if you see a 6'4" Impala, you don't, that doesn't instantaneously pop into your head.
Exactly.
Now, what did you think of the docu-picture about that? The end of Compton? Yep.
Oh, I loved it. I watched it. Once every couple of weeks. That's in rotation. I love that movie. Yeah.
It's a great movie. Wow. Once every couple of weeks. I'm not going to try to quote nothing off of it because I would fail miserably. There's a lot of stuff I learned out of that. So I never, you know, we are bamboozled by bullshit, you know. And I, you know, you look at Ice-T, or not Ice-T, but Ice Cube and all them guys, and you're like, yeah, man, they're harder than a bag of nails, those dudes right there. And then you watch a movie like that, and you're like, oh, y'all wasn't like, only E was like that.
Yeah.
Eazy-E was the one that was really doing stuff. The rest of you guys were kind of like, you watched it, you saw what was going on, and you rapped about what was happening. But E was the one that was like, that dude was doing.
Dealing crack.
You know, he.
Yep.
Was he in that opening scene when they bust through the door?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, funny thing about a good buddy of mine, he's going to do a show with me soon, a guy from work. He's younger than you and I. He's probably about 10 years our junior at least. And you'll get a kick out of this. And just thinking about that era and those guys that came out of there, I said to him, you ever seen the movie Colors? Robert Duvall, Sean Penn, Ice-T's iconic song, Colors. Damon Wayans is in it. I said, you ever seen Colors? Nah, what's that? I said, what? How could you have never seen the movie Colors? He's like, never even heard of it. And I recited to him what I just recited to you. He's like, nah. I'm like, there's that famous line of Duvall looking at Penn talking about the bulls going down the hill and all that. And I'm like, you've never seen this. And he goes, no. Wife and I recently just got an RV. Got to get some DVDs. Brand new, in the package, still sealed up, Colors. $2. Oof. This is yours, man. I had to drop it off to him. like, you got to watch this. He hasn't watched it yet, but he's like, he sent me a picture of it. I at work for him. He sent me a picture. I guess I got to watch it. And I was like, yes. Yes, you do. Oh, such a great movie. E. Now, would E be relevant today? There's so many of those rappers are not.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, that's like, what would he have done? Like, they were talking, you know, they want to get NWA back together. And then obviously, you know, Dre did his thing, and he like that alone, the Dre, then you got Snoop Dogg, then you got Eminem, who, yeah, I mean, 50 Cent, but I mean, he made his mark. He was, yeah. But all the rest of those, like, you're going to, like, we missed out. I don't, that's so crazy. Like, now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, but still, you know, you don't want someone, especially dying the way he did,
oh, yeah,
to die like that.
But even they just,
if you don't know, he died from AIDS, folks.
Yeah.
Go look it up. He was like probably in that genre, he was the first, you know, rapper to die of something like that.
Yep. Yes, yeah, so, what, some of the big deaths there, like Freddie Mercury, Rock Hudson.
Right. He was straight. They were all, you know, they were gay men that, you know, it was always alluded to of their sexuality. He was a heterosexual black man that passed away that way. That was like, what? Wait a sec. This isn't real. This doesn't happen. You know, really changed the landscape of it.
Yep. All 5'3" of them.
Was he that short?
He was super tiny. Yeah. 5'4" or 5'3". I'm sorry. 5'3".
Do you remember those videos, though, of like him and Dre going back and forth when they were battling and they were just slinging it at each other?
Yep. Oh,
they were nasty. They got into it with each other. Like, and you had to pick sides. You had to pick sides. Everybody. Yep. Whose side were you on at the time? You're like, oh no. I feel like most people were on Dre's side, though. For some reason, I felt like, for some reason, everybody was after Dre. Like, oh, I'm on Team Dre, or whatever we were back then. You know, oh, it's so great.
Yeah, so Dre put out one of the greatest hip-hop albums of all time, The Chronic. That was just like...
The original, not Chronic 2000, the original Chronic.
The original Chronic.
That thing changed how we all looked at things. But don't you think he kind of stole from, they're from out this way. I can't think of the name of the group now. They were like the first ones to really talk about smoking weed. Shotgun. Oh, God, I can't think of it. I'm having a brain fart right now. They were in the 90s. They were huge. It was a friend of mine. No, not Wu-Tang. You see Wu-Tang's touring again?
Are they really?
Oh, yeah, that just came around. Well, they're touring the best they can. They're nobody's freaking touring right now.
Right, right.
Who the hell...
Tribe Called Quest.
I did like me some Tribe Called Quest. I can't think of who the hell it was. Not Wiz Khalifa. I can't think of who it is now. Somebody will send me a message and be like, you're an idiot. This is who you were talking about. You know, my buddy Mike Dennis, who loved all them bands. I even remember, like, inside of the album cover, they talked about, like, that George Washington grew weed and everything, and I remember the one guy, I could just hear it in my head. They were like a Boston-based rap band. I can't think of it. I'm an idiot. The one guy from the...
I have no idea.
I can't think of it. I'll send you a message just so it doesn't hurt my head. Because it's going to sit there and it's going to hurt my head, and I'm going to sit there going, I can remember this. And even, you know, right now, even Google's not helping, because I'm like, artist that sang about weed. And it's like, yeah, good luck. They're like, good luck, stupid. Try to find that one.
Like, talk to you in a week after you go over that list.
After you go through this one and all these people that you're like, you don't even know who they are. You know, Rick James, Mary Jane. Like, I can't even think of who it was. I don't know. I can't think of them.
Cypress Hill?
No. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, really?
Cypress Hill. Thank you. But don't you think that Dre was already bigger than Cypress Hill?
Yep.
At the time. And he just really stole their idea. Because they were the first one. Think about it. Cypress Hill was talking about rolling and smoking and doing stuff long before any of them other guys. I still remember NWA, they had songs about, you know, hey, remember they had the line, hey, Mr. Dope Man, you think you're slick, you sold back to my sister and now she's sick, but if she happens to die because of your drugs, I'm putting in your culo a 38 slug. Yes, I do remember that from way back then. So they were rapping about that kind of stuff. And then also here comes Cypress Hill. And they're like, nah, I got shotguns. I'm smoking weed. They changed it.
And were I think they right at the same time as I'm trying to remember now. Holy shit, my memory's.
So
it's worse by the day.
I think Cypress, let's see. I think Cypress Hill was pre. So their first album for Cypress Hill, let's see when it came out. Let's see if my internet wants to play with me. Even my internet's forgetting things. I'm the only person in the world would have where their Google forgets stuff. Oh, man.
That's
I forgot that, too. So the Cypress Hill, Temple of Boom, let's see, Temple of Boom was 93. The self-titled album, Cypress Hill, was in 1991.
Okay. So, yeah, that was about 3 years before Chronic.
Yep. So Chronic, and then Chronic came out in 94. So I'm telling you, I feel like they were the first ones that kind of do it that way and start talking about that. And everybody else tagged along was like, oh, you can talk about that? You know, they kind of,
okay.
they were different. And you also, you know what? And they were always, you can find Cypress Hill on like the alt music channel too.
Yep.
You ever notice that? Like they weren't just on the 92Q or, you know, 103.9 or whatever it was in where you live. Like Cypress Hill would be on like the alt music channel. Just play, you know, they would play some Screaming Trees or something like that. And then Cypress Hill. And there was some, God, you know who I just thought about? Another one that died. The guy who was a little person that was the rapper. He just died this past year. Bushwhack Bill.
Yep.
He was that dude was crazy. He used to talk about, he was another crackhead. He was, you know, got into the rap. So honorable mentions, because I'm sidetracked right now. We could talk music. I couldn't play a note on a radio. I'm such a horrible musician. I have no skills. My children can do it all, but I love music. I'm that guy that, like, I have no business telling someone that they're not talented because I don't have any talent. But I will tell you, if you, let me let you know how untalented you are with my untalented self. So,
I actually had to start. I started a new band. We're a ska punk band, and I'm playing bass now.
Oh, I love ska. I used to love back in, because I like horn sections.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's like the basis of all ska. There's that group that plays down in the New York City, down in the subways. I know you've seen the videos. Have you ever seen those?
No, I haven't.
The guy plays whatever that horn that you always find in a ska band. Again, like I said, 0.0 musical talent. The guy that plays the horn that you always see in the ska band. Yeah, that's that's actually the technical name for the instrument. I'm so horrible with that. But my honorable mentions. This is the guy who Marvin Gaye booted out. And I think this guy would have taken Neil Young's title of Godfather of Grunge. Jim Morrison.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Morrison. Part of the 27 Club.
Yep.
You know, I think Morrison, I had him on my list and I was like, Jim Morrison, Doors. And then I was like, but Marvin Gaye. So I had to go with Marvin Gaye over Jim Morrison, because if I would have put Morrison in there, I'd have had straight 27 Club. I was like, every single one of these people is in the 27 Club. And I didn't realize it, that they were all in the 27 Club.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. I don't know what it is about that number. That, like, if you have talent, you just, I'm going to off myself now.
Yeah. Yeah. Was Chris Farley? Well, he was 27 too, wasn't he? So I'm getting up music. But
see, now you're going to make me think I have to go look and see if Belushi was in that.
I think he was.
See, something about that 27 club.
Farley died at the same age. And if that was 27, yeah, definitely.
The other one I had on my list, in my opinion, and we could have this debate. And now that I think about it, this other guy could go on here too. John Bonham.
Ooh.
John Bonham. But if I add John Bonham in, guess who I got to add in there? Keith Moon.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh.
So, you know, that's the great debate of who was a better. They said that Bonham was such an amazing drummer that they would have to put the microphone in the hallway down the steps when he really was jamming out because he was so loud that,
yeah.
that the equipment couldn't pick up what he was doing because it was just too much reverb off the drums. How incredible, you know, but I mean, it goes back to the old band joke. You've been in enough bands. You know what they call the guy that hangs out with the band, right?
The drummer.
What do you call, what do you call the guy that carries the four, all the musicians? Like,
the drummer?
The bassist.
The bassist. Yeah. Like I said, one of the four people that will listen to this whole thing, one of them will be a drummer, will be my luck. A drummer who's a big rap fan that's going to just like melee me on everything and be like, you're an imbecile. And I'm like, yeah, okay, so you listen to the whole thing. I'm okay with it.
He's going to give you a negative Yelp review.
Oh, what? God. I'm a Yelper.
No, I'm kidding. Drummers don't know how to use Yelp.
That's it. Well, they have time to figure out how to use Yelp as the lead singer's leaving with their girlfriend. that's how that works. You know, that's great. Now, did you have any honorable mentions?
I had two. One I mentioned, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Layne Staley, I would go with for yeah.
I must have been in a 70s mood when I was thinking about this. So I even had, what's his name from Lynyrd Skynyrd, the lead singer of Lynyrd Skynyrd. I don't remember.
What the hell was his name? Oh. Like I said, man, what a terrible memory.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember his name. But, you know, I was sitting there going like, oh, wait a sec. He died in a plane crash. What if he'd have lived? You know, oh, Ronnie Van Zant.
Ronnie Van Zant.
You know, what if he'd lived? Oh, you know, that's why I say Heaven's got one hell of a jam band. You know, you start realizing all these. You could have thrown Prince in there. You know, he definitely died too young. I don't care about Mike. I love Michael Jackson music, but I don't care if Mike would have. I wouldn't have brought Mike back. I feel like.
I'm such a huge fan of his music, but that he never even crossed my mind.
Yeah, no.
It's weird. I don't know.
Because, you know, I don't know. He had a monster impact. If you ever can get a hold of those sound clips where it's just him singing without the music around him, it's incredible just to hear his voice by itself. I'm a huge fan with Prince and everything, but there's one with the Godfather of Soul himself playing, and he's playing, and then he calls up Michael Jackson to the stage. And then after he calls Michael Jackson up to the stage, Mike leans over and goes, well, Prince is out there also. And Prince comes out and starts shredding a guitar.
Like, yeah. Yeah,
you're amazing. It's all the soul music you could ever want all in one place. It's incredible. So you got anything? Now, I heard you said you got a new band. What else you got to promote?
We're called Tim Cup Radicals. We're in the writing stage right now. We're doing covers, you know, just to kind of get a vibe going, and then we're also writing originals. So
okay. Now you doing any covers of like obscure songs that like aren't really ska songs, but you're making them ska?
We do have a couple. We've got Stay by Rihanna.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My drummer's going to kill me because I can't think of the name of the song. It's a Lamb of God song.
You're not hurting my feelings for getting Lamb of God. You're not. That's one of those like bands that first time I heard them, I was like, oh, okay. All right. This is what you do. I saw them at the Times Union Center when they opened for Metallica, which – I'll get another bad review, but one of the worst shows I've ever seen was Metallica.
Ugh. No shit.
Oh, it was so bad. It was the Saint something album, whatever the heck it was.
Oh, and, yeah.
And they would play a song from that album, and everybody would sit down, and then they'd play classic stuff off of like Ride the Lightning or Garage Yard Days or Master of Puppets or something like that. And everybody would be up, and they would jam it out. But as soon as they played back, went back to that album, it was like, meh.
Yeah. Anything up to and including Injustice for All, hell yeah. Black yeah. Album, give or take. It's more of a pop album than it is metal.
Yeah.
But that, I was just like, and especially when Lars went off about, what was that music service?
Napster.
Oh, yeah. God.
Went after the 20-some-year-old kid with all the lists. Like, I want the list of names. Give me the list. Okay, there.
He's just a terrible person. He's just a terrible person.
But he's got more money than you and I would ever know what to do with.
I know, that son of a bitch.
I can call you a horrible person because you're never going to listen to this. And add to it, you've got enough money that you don't care about me. So you got Tin Cup Review, right?
Radicals. Tin Cup Radicals.
Tin Cup Radicals. Yep. I might have just changed your band name. Tin Cup Radicals. What else you got going on?
And also do a cover duo, The Idiots. We play pretty much right now. We're only playing in Vermont just because all the shit going on right now. I do solo shit still too in Vermont. I'll still do my live streams, do all that good stuff.
So where, if somebody wants to watch your live stream or any of that, where can they find you?
Friend me on Facebook. Rick Webb, a.k.a. Richard
Kirk. Hold on. You just froze up. Say it one more time.
I broadcast on my personal page, so go ahead and add me because I like new friends. Rick Webb. You'll see this darling face in my profile picture. And you can also follow Cup Radicals and The Idiots on Facebook.
All right. We'll wrap this up here a little bit. If you like this show, you can find us on Twitter at @TheAbove4. Instagram, we're @above_the_bar_podcast. I know that one's long. Podbean, we're at abovethebarpodcast.podbean.com. We got our Facebook page, the Above the Bar Above the Bar Podcast, and my email is theabovethebarpodcast@gmail.com. Brother, I appreciate you coming on with me. I know it was a little bit of a short notice. We said we were going to make something happen sooner or later. I know we'll find some more topics. Maybe we'll get into comic book characters that we wish they would do a movie on or that they ruined already. I'm not going to get into it.
What? Fantastic Four.
So bad. Everything, you know. See, you would make me say, they could have made, look, throw this out there. And we'll end this show. You had to say it. They could have made the greatest mistake they could have at the end of the last movies, all the Endgame movies. They could have done the greatest move ever, and it would have been perfect to bring the Fantastic Four and all the properties from Fox over.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, at the end of Spider-Man, the first one, Homecoming, that they were moving out of the Avengers building, right?
Yep.
And they were getting everything out. If they'd have put at the end of those movies, all the Endgame movies, just to, you know, all the end credit scenes of Happy getting done all his stuff and them just saying, yeah, so the new tenants, they're changing the name to the Baxter Building.
Yeah.
And I got to chill again. If you'd have ended it and said, oh, we're just going to call it the Baxter Building now, they'd have ended it that way. Do you know how awesome that would have been? How amazing it would have been.
I got goosebumps. I'm legit.
Brother. See, like you'd have been like, oh, they could have done that movie in 4 years from now. No one would have cared that you'd already said that they were there. You'd have made them part of the MCU instantaneously, and everything associated with them would have been part of the MCU. And you'd have been like, just give me the movie at some point. You could add years to work on that movie.
Just give us that little
that statement,
that little bit of seasoning.
Yep. Maybe I'll get one of those 7 degrees of separation of the four people that will listen to this, and they'll share it with somebody, and it'll get down the line, and we'll know we said it here.
Yes, first.
And we'll say, that was my idea, and everybody will call me a liar, and it won't matter, but I'll have the recording to prove it. So, all right, brother. Well, we will talk. I'll talk to everyone later. Hope everyone enjoyed this show.